The Dharma Lars Podcast with Ralph and Ben begins now. Episode 48, Meet Kevin Johnson.
This is it, dude.
Are we on?
If the listeners do not send us another karaoke by this time next week,
I'm screwed.
You're done.
I'm screwed and they're screwed.
Yep.
Listen up, everybody out there. All within the sound of my voice. Send in yourself singing a karaoke, or you will have to hear me singing a karaoke.
We have yet another one from Dre, but that's it.
And it will be John Henry Was a Steel Driving Man. That is what I will sing. That's a Simpsons reference.
Okay.
No, I will not sing that. Welcome to the Dharma Lars.
You should sing You Make Me Feel Like Dancing by Leo Sayer.
You make me feel... I'll sing Tighten Up. That's the music you tighten up to. This is the Dharma Lars. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And producer Ryan is with us as always. And we have a segment from Seattle Jimmy.
Who knows?
Possibly.
I don't know. I haven't contacted him. I will contact him. But it's probably too late.
It's likely that you'll not hear that. But
yeah.
Maybe it'll be a midweek replacement.
Yes. A midweek replacement?
Yeah. You know, how they do.
Yeah.
So this is the last Dharma Lars episode until
April,
mid-April. Late April.
April 25th?
But we'll do our episode on the 25th, yeah. So savor the flavor, ladies and gents.
Savor the flavor.
It's not going to be this flavor for a while. It's totally different. The Lars is totally different.
Yeah.
It's a lot less relevant to you.
Yeah.
And considering how relevant
we
normally are.
I might suggest that because we have less listeners for the Lars, that you may be in a safe zone if you do your karaoke during that part.
That's true. Less people will hear me suck. But I'll still
Have you been thinking about actual songs, though?
No, I haven't. I guess I should do something that I have, like, a connection to.
Uh-huh.
Can you, like, karaoke any track if I send it to you?
No.
So I have to, like, go online and find a...
The one I did, I purchased.
Purchased? Like, on a website?
On iTunes.
Oh, they have, like, karaoke style. Okay.
If you know someone who has some kind of free downloading thing that they subscribe to...
I'm not into that kind of thing myself. I think it's more trouble than it's worth.
It's just a karaoke, though.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But, no, I don't know anyone that has that. Because
going into it, saving 99 cents. So.
Just fucking do it.
I'll
go online to the iTunes store and find a song, and I will sing it the best of my ability. I won't, like, Roseanne Barr it up. You know, if any sucking that is done will be unintentional, I can assure you.
Okay.
But there.
But there.
Unintentional, but there. How was your big trip, dude?
Good. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
A little tiring, as usual.
Yeah, are you still recovering? Are you feeling...
No, I was fine, actually, the next day, but I haven't been feeling well the last 2 days, and it's just been nonstop.
Yeah.
So.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah.
You get to see some good baseball?
Kind of.
Did you get to see some baseball?
It was so sunny, and we had standing room only seats in that. Remember that ship place we went to the first year?
Yeah,
to see
the Peoria Sports Complex?
Yeah, we were there.
That place sucks ass. I'm sorry to anyone.
And it was standing room only, so a number of us who we couldn't see the game decided to go over to a tree and sit under it for the duration of the game because it was so miserable. But I did see the last inning, and the Angels beat the Dodgers.
Nice. Go Halos.
The second game we saw didn't have great seats, but we were in the lawn and it was nice and warm. But I didn't get sunburned.
Was that at Hohokam?
Nope. It was at fucking wherever the Padres and Seattle play.
So you guys really mixed it up this year.
Wait, that was Peoria.
Okay.
The other one was Butthole Field or something.
Butthole Field.
Home.
Well,
Peoria is really nice. They had a hot dog there that had to have been like some like 13 inches, and it was like as big around as the end of my mic. And it's just like these gigantic hot dogs. They're like huge.
Nice.
Like the biggest hot dog I've ever eaten. $6.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it was bad. Awesome.
That's a good deal. Like that'll fill you up.
Yeah.
You don't need two or three of those.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
And they had olives in the condiments area for it.
I wonder what Seth would have done.
And sour cream. And pepperoncinis.
Well, all in the con, like free, yeah. Hanging out free.
Yep.
I could go make myself an olive and pepperoncinis dressing. Salad with sour cream dressing. Free. And suckers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that at all. I hate all three of those things, actually, to be honest with you.
You hate sour cream?
I can't have sour cream. I'm lactose. Yeah.
So you hate it.
I hate it. I also hate it because of the time I thought it was whipped cream.
That's happened to me before.
Yeah, you've had a similar experience.
One was whipped cream, but instead it was cream cheese.
Cream cheese. And that soured you, no pun intended, on cream cheese for like a long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever get over that?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay, sweet. Because cream cheese is pretty good, too.
Hell yeah, dude.
At least I remember.
But it's just one of those things you expect one thing to be in your mouth, and it's something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I've been there. You expect one guy to be in your mouth. That's just a whole different dude. And you're like, bro. I colored eggs this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I colored them, and then I hid them in the fridge.
Instead of waiting to be eaten.
I've been finding them all week and eating them all week. I did not devil any of them.
Dude, you know that movie Cool Hand Luke, which I've never seen?
I'm familiar with it.
He can eat like 50 eggs, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the case.
I believe I can eat...
Say 50.
100 deviled egg halves.
Oh, really?
Which is the equivalent to 50 eggs.
It is. It's, and even more yolk, probably. In what kind of a time period?
At least a day.
A day.
That's a lot of deviled eggs for one day. If it's actually going to be a thrown down as a challenge,
yeah,
have to do it like Century Club style.
One a minute.
400 minutes.
And do you think you could do that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think this would be an excellent video podcast.
Do
we have that technology?
Only if I can get a competitor.
Someone else to eat 100 deviled egg halves?
Yep.
I can't think of a single person. Maybe Matt. Maybe Ultraviolet fan.
Would he be up to? He already passed the McNugget challenge, which was 50 McNuggets in 50 minutes.
I kind of feel like that Ultraviolet fan feels his competitive eating days are behind him.
If you want to record this as a podcast, I'm not going to sit there by myself with a camera pointing at me eating
what
eggs.
What about the whole time you eat them every minute, like I talk? I'll do my 100 favorite movies.
Well, I think you shouldn't be talking about or talking with your mouth full.
I can't.
Or
no
with
way.
Your mouth empty.
Uh-uh,
wait, what?
I don't even really like deviled eggs, and I don't like hard-boiled eggs. And there's no way I can eat 50 of them.
What is there 100, or let's say 50? Is there something that you can eat 50 of, do you think?
Oh, boy.
It's Easter time. How about some peeps?
I believe 50 peeps is physically impossible. things expand in your stomach, I'm sure.
You know the eyes are made of wax? You know how much wax would be in your stomach?
100. 100 eyes worth?
Oh, I guess 100, yeah. You're eating 50.
There is nothing that I feel like I could competitively eat anymore. Ryan says... thinks he could eat 100 pussies in 100 minutes. I think you could, dude. You could eat for our country. country.
That's what you get for doing vagina-eating pantomime.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to call out all of Ryan's pantomimes.
As Affleck would say.
I don't feel like I'm the competitive eating type, because every time I've tried, I fail. I mean,
how far did you get in the McNugget challenge?
37,
I think.
37 in a row?
I think I was out first with 34.
Yeah.
Because there was a hard chunk in one of my McNuggets.
That'll throw you off your game.
And I only have a minute to finish that one before I put another one in.
Uh-uh.
And you can't spit it out.
Yeah, it's
over. You think
you're
going to swallow that?
Oh, after 33 McNuggets have already gone down there, you're going to send a hard chunk after?
I have the 34th in my mouth with a hard piece in the middle.
I can't blame you for saying goodnight on that one. And then Stevie went out after me.
Stevie went 39, you went 37. Ossoff, I think, went 42, and then Clark made 50.
All the way to 50.
And he wouldn't do 51. I don't know why he didn't want to exceed the challenge. But
he said that he could, but that he did not want to. I think he was trying to...
I didn't want to, but...
He was trying to retain a piece of his soul.
That was a great day because, like, maybe an hour later, we were all starving for tacos.
We got tacos. Because maybe 30 minutes later, we were all on the toilet.
Those were probably that was probably the best,
facing each other.
That was probably the best taco I've ever eaten.
The taco that followed 34 or 33 and a half McNuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how sometimes something sweet tastes better after you eat something sour?
Yeah.
That's pretty much that on the fact right there.
But, yeah. Well,
that was a good day.
Maybe me and Ryan can have a taco eating contest.
Yeah. If you know what looks I mean. Like Ryan's already insinuating such.
It's vagina lifting.
I honestly don't, because, like, as fat as I am and as much as I eat, I don't eat a lot in one sitting. Like,
but you did Century Club.
I did the Century Club. That's beer. I bet I could do that again. I'll do that. I'll do 100 shots of beer, and you do 100 deviled eggs.
Ryan, will you, as the producer of the Darmalars and soon-to-be Lars, are you okay with this? Yeah, he says sure.
Challenge.
This is going to be gross.
Yeah, grossly awesome. And you're going to have to buy like
this?
Three platters.
How about this? We're gonna be not doing Lost Podcast for another month or so.
Yeah.
Call the Dharma line or send your emails and then say whether this is a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah. Keep us on track.
If you'd be willing to watch this.
Yeah, we could edit it. It doesn't have to be 100 minutes long.
We would still have our hilarious Darmalars banter and only be 100 minutes, which is what, an hour and
40 minutes? By the end, I'd be drunk.
Sure, why not?
But that's hilarious.
And I'd be thrown up. I think there's going to be a lot of talking at the beginning.
Yes.
And then as it goes on, less talking from me, more talking from Ben.
That's probably true.
You know what? That's actually really interesting. Who would make me 100 deviled eggs?
You'd have to buy a couple platters. Who's going to make them? I bet Harmony would make them if you asked her nicely.
I'll ask her nicely.
Yeah.
Because buying 8 dozen eggs is probably cheaper than trying to get a hold of that many
deviled eggs.
That many platters.
Yeah. Smart and final, Ryan says.
Yeah.
I bet we could do it. I will be drinking 100 shots of Coors Light, if anything.
This is a bad idea.
Yep. That's the best bad ideas, is when you know it going into it.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Well, the affair's over, but I think I'm going to tell my wife anyway. Bad idea, jeans. Do you want to talk about that television show, Lost?
Yeah, sure. Do it.
Let's get into it. Television rules the nation.
Television. So, between our last segment and this segment, we talked about vaginas and periods.
Yep.
Right.
Episode 3x08. Meet Kevin Johnson.
Yes. That's your brother, Kevin.
My brother, Kevin. this whole week, I've been singing the Jetsons theme song. Meet Kevin Johnson.
His boy Walt.
Exactly. Vince, their dog. And then some lady, his mom. So we get to see
some lady, his mom.
I didn't hear her name.
Some lady.
Yeah. His mom.
Her mom, Richard. Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson. she had gone on the Family Feud there and he got a little friendly after the kiss.
Yeah.
And now we have Michael.
Yep.
He is not doing so hot, huh?
No.
Woo!
That's awesome. That's all we have.
Good night.
The show was a week ago.
The island won't let him die. No,
I listen to every recap on every podcast that I listen to.
Okay.
And they brought up some really good points.
And now it's like, we can't. You don't want to bring it up because it's already been brought up.
Yeah. You know what's funny, and I'm not saying that we're up to transmission standards whatsoever, but I find that a lot of the stuff that we mention, they mention as well.
That's cool. So we should have similar interests.
Yeah, I'm kind of fired up on that. So we're just like the transmission.
Remember that thing that you weren't going to say, but now you're saying it.
Yeah. No, and there's a lot of things they said. One of the things I want to talk about is Tom's quote, boyfriend, end quote.
Possibly. Still played a little ambiguous, I would say.
Yeah, because he's like,
Riot says no.
Is he French or Italian?
Yeah, he's foreign.
Yeah. Guys kiss on cheeks.
It looked like it was on a cheek. Yeah, that
wasn't. You know,
it still could have played both ways.
It could have been my flamboyant friend.
Right. Ryan says it was not friendly. It was romantic.
It was Mr. You know, friendly.
I'm not. It was very Mr. Friendly. It was good to see Tom again, even though we all have reasons to hate him. It's still like I like that character.
Yeah,
I like McGainey.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of dead people.
He's been dead for a while.
Yeah. There were a lot of dead people in last week's episode. And it was like, Mikowski, Tom, Naomi.
It's, what's her name? Libby.
Libby, yeah. No Ana Lucia.
No.
Interesting.
And
I liked that Ben finally busted out with, no one told you to shoot them. Which is what I've been saying the whole time. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck, Michael? That was your plan? Oh, I know. I'll murder a couple of people first.
Damn.
So, okay, you said there was something you wanted to touch on.
What?
Was it my penis?
No, it was that Tom could maybe still not be gay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think he's
gay.
Yeah, I'm just for playing devil's advocate here.
I think that's totally valid. I think there's a lot of wiggle
room. I think with all the tap dancing that the Lost Writers do, that they can they could tap dance out of that one if they decide to make him straight.
As smoothly as they wanted to. And I don't know what the problem is. Just pull the trigger. Have a gay character.
Yeah.
Would it draw so much attention to itself that the story would be done a disservice?
No.
So just do it.
No.
But what's funny is...
That's something I heard on every podcast, so I figured I'd
throw
in a different take on it.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. There's totally plenty of room there. In fact, when he went in for the kiss, I thought they were going to kiss. And I guess it did kind of take me out of the moment. I was like, oh, fine, we're going to have confirmation that Tom's gay. And then they did that side kiss, and I was like, okay, or not.
Yeah.
Because you're right, Ryan, I totally feel where you're coming from, but I think that there is a little bit of ambiguity there.
Some of the things I heard on other podcasts were some stuff, but here's something I did not hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say. Something I didn't hear on other podcasts, the island did not allow Michael to murder himself.
Correct.
The gun jam. And no one that I heard of, at least the three that I listened to, mentioned Claire's pen. Do you think that maybe the island had already gotten a hold of Claire and didn't allow her to write or fill out her adoption papers?
Because
it seemed like a similar thing. How often do guns jam? How often does pens not work, especially when you're going pen after pen after pen?
I like that because the idea is the island, especially so far away from itself, has to work maybe through what would appear as fate or coincidence.
Yeah.
It's got to just take small changes and make things work for itself. So that's totally valid.
Could the island have called all of these people to that one plane?
Yes. And I think it's something like that that's going to be behind why they have so many interconnectedness.
Yeah.
But I think you're totally right, yeah. And it could be the same thing as, you know, getting John Locke on the plane or making sure Hurley makes his flight, even though there's a lot going against him.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we look at as either like ironic or a fate or a coincidence, it could exactly be something exerting its will.
I don't understand. What's like the definition of ironic?
I am not going to get into it.
Did we already do this on the show?
I just misused it. to be honest,
you can't use it correctly. That's the thing.
You can't use ironic correctly, according to the people that say that you can't use it correctly. And remember, we brought it up with our friend Erin, who was an English major, and she's been an English major long enough that she does not want to hear people talk about ironic. She was like, "I'm not part of this conversation."
Yeah.
The thing is, folks, the word irony.
Here it goes. You can't escape it every time I bring it up.
I can't. You know, and I tried to explain it.
Here's an example. Go for it. You.
Okay, the thing about irony is people use it to mean dramatic irony at best, which is where something happens and it's interesting, or...
Fire station on fire.
Exactly. Isn't that interesting? Or isn't that an odd congregation of names?
But that's not ironic?
That's not ironic, as far as I understand the debate. Now, granted, there are people on the other side of it who I think their main thrust is, language is organic, language evolves. That's how people use the word ironic now, so let it be. Mm-hmm. You know, add a definition to it. The other people say that irony is the use of words to express other than their literal intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And the only example I can give is in Futurama, the last episode of the first run,
mm-hmm.
where the devil asks for, he's trying to get his hands back. Mm-hmm. So he asks for Leela's hand, the robot devil. And then when time comes to collect on it, instead of it being her actual physical biological hand, it turns out he's asking for her hand in marriage, and she's already agreed. So that's irony, because it's a pun, essentially.
So irony is a pun.
Kind of, yeah.
So we already have a word instead of irony.
Well,
that describes
it's,
you know, it.
It's more than that, like, obviously. But yeah, I mean...
I love getting you frustrated because you can't explain it. The years I've known you, you've never been able to explain
that's where
Ryan's
going
to try to explain it.
Well, the reason why I get frustrated is I don't exactly get it and I don't precisely care.
And I think, I think the issue is that you might be taking the definition too literally, where you're saying where a word means not what you think it means. Mm-hmm. I think it's anything that isn't what you would expect or be truthful. So it's not the, I agree with the whole dramatic irony thing,
right.
But I think it's the whole, it's something that is not necessarily sincere or truthful. So like Pee Wee Herman, his performance is ironic because it's something, he isn't really a kids show host. It's an ironic performance because it's taking something out of its original context and doing something a little bit different with it.
I think that's
an adult program. So it's not the literal, a word that doesn't mean something. It's just, it's something that isn't conveying what it should be or should intended. Should, you know what I'm saying?
Even that though, even that is different than a fire station on fire.
Right. Oh yeah. 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 For sure.
So, I mean, there's still two definitions and there's still, by the way, a huge debate raging every day around the nerds of the internet about which one is right. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, I don't care either way, but I'm just trying to explain that there is this debate that we don't know about because it exists in the shadowy underworld below our own.
I think one of the things that where I first kind of got hip to that is I heard that Steve Martin is an ironic comedian. And then when you think about his act, he's making balloon animals and doing things like that. And it's not for its intended audience. It's not because he sincerely wants to entertain you with making balloon animals. It's just like, isn't it weird that I'm making balloon animals?
Yeah.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I'm so sorry. I didn't want to do that. Fuck. I'm the worst person ever.
Why?
Because I, never mind.
I had my fingers crossed the whole time. The whole time. Can we please get through it without mentioning it?
Oh, you didn't,
you mentioned,
did you?
Don't. He did. All right. Let's go on. Let's talk about Lost.
All right.
So Michael died in this episode, and it was... Oh,
yeah,
what?
Do you guys remember that?
What happened?
Bye, see you next week. Bye. I think... Fuck the irony thing, that's beautiful. But I think anything like that can definitely be linked to the island. If it can exert its influence mm-hmm. that far away to keep Michael from killing himself, so much so that Tom already knows about it and mm-hmm. can warn him about that kind of thing.
Is the island inside him?
Is
he infected with like a sickness that is like a beacon for the island, so he's constantly being able to be tracked?
I think it's probably more.
Tom certainly knew he was going to be in that alley.
Yeah, he did, but he's been keeping tabs on him. Someone could have been following him. Mm-hmm. It's probably not hard to follow someone if they don't have like spy training.
Tom mentioned that there was only a handful that could leave
the
island.
Back and forth, yeah.
So Tom's one of them.
Yeah,
we're assuming Ben.
With all the passports and everything.
Yeah.
Eyeliner.
Eyeliner.
Not
Ethan.
The Kyle.
Ethan? Yes. Mm. Ethan? Say yes.
No.
All right, fine. You're
Why?
An idiot.
Why Ethan?
Because I told you yes. It was your chance to say yes, I agree.
Yes.
Because remember in Not in Portland when he was in Miami?
Oh, yeah. Doe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave me a chance. I just said something stupid.
Uh-oh.
Mark the time.
Uh-oh. Ben said something stupid. All right.
Ben, you're a fucking idiot.
Ralph's been wanting that for a while.
Can't wait.
Okay, so yes, Ethan.
And now you don't have to.
But probably no one else. Not many else.
Yeah.
Because that's, especially when we talk about how Ben's management technique,
yeah.
He's not going to let people go back and forth.
But wonder why he didn't go after Michael himself. I guess he was. I guess he was getting his shit removed.
Yeah, he was probably on the table. Yeah,
but when? But Tom was there the whole
Tom
time.
Tom was there for that. It was a couple of months afterwards. Something established is that his mom said,
yeah, "This episode confused me, and this was something brought up on the transmission." Okay, let's try to figure out this timeline.
Okay,
no math. Okay,
no math.
The people in Lost on the airplane. Have they been there for 3 months?
They've been there from September 22nd till now. It's shortly after Christmas.
Yes. So that's 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay. What's his name? Michael's mom said that he was gone for 2 months.
She did say two, yeah.
Which would make it November.
Right.
Why does she have Christmas stuff up in November?
It could be the day after Thanksgiving. Huh? Some people put their stuff up then.
Is that weird?
Not necessarily, and it doesn't have to. Just because she says 2 months doesn't mean it has to be
exactly 2 months.
Precisely 8 weeks. I would have to put it somewhere. Oh, we could find out what day Thanksgiving was on in 2004. Because
all right, everybody, open your copybook or go to the internet.
Yes,
look that up and then
note that down. Look around, Yogg. We're getting a major car alarm right now,
and I think it's Stevie's.
So. Is she trying to steal her car?
Maybe. We get these loud diesel trucks coming through, and they have to pull in slowly in front of the gate in order to wait for the doors to open up.
Uh-huh.
And so the constant rumbling, will set off alarms.
Huh.
Because our spot is right next to the gate.
That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It makes for great podcast banter.
Yes, it's something to talk about.
What else do we... Oh! Carl got a haircut in this episode. That was interesting.
Yeah, I noticed that he got a haircut and a bullet in the chest.
Yes. So
I thought those were good style choices for Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because every now and then you're thinking, oh, my hair's a little long. My chest is a little too intact for the season.
That would have been a better cliffhanger.
What's that?
Instead of Carl getting his water bottle shot first and then getting shot in the chest, he should have gotten shot in the chest. Then taking a drink from the water bottle and have it squirt out and then cut to Lost. The little title.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
Because that would have been hilarious.
Yes.
That would have been a great cliffhanger because we would have all been like, oh, I get it. It's a cartoon. See you next month.
See you in April. Do you think Rousseau's dead?
No.
Nah, me neither.
No.
She's too huge, too much of the show. She's been on the island for too long.
Yeah.
To go out
not
like
get
that.
A backstory. And she hasn't really redeemed herself, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I was debating this with myself. I just lost a dollar to myself.
Mm-hmm.
She got shot. A lot of people have gotten shot on the island, and it ain't no thing. I think...
Maybe she faked her shot to make it look like she got shot, but she's really working with Ben, so...
There could be that, or she could be playing possum, or it just takes a while. Like, it took John Locke a while to get up. But I was saying, you know, she's been on the island for 16 years. Whatever the island does is soaked into her deep. But what if it's more of a matter of faith? Like, Locke had to believe. He had to see Walt to get up. Maybe the island doesn't work necessarily for you if you don't believe. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's possible, or do you think it's just more objective than that?
I didn't think about it that much. I guess that would make sense. I think that... I don't know. She's alive. I think she's alive. She's going to be alive enough to give more information before she dies.
She's going to... Okay.
Kind of so like Libby.
She might be mortally
Libby
wounded.
Got shot and was alive for a couple episodes to say it was Michael.
Yeah. Okay. I believe that. But Carl's out.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm just getting used to him.
After a day and a half, he turns to Alex and says, hey, what if Ben's playing us? And then he gets shot. Nice work, champ. Hook on the uptake. And then freaking Alex, she knows what side her bread's buttered on. A couple shots come out of the forest and kill a couple people, and she's like, hey, I'm Ben's daughter, so it's all good. I've always been his daughter. Everything's okay. Don't shoot me.
Carl said, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Did he?
Yep.
That's a Star Trek, Star Wars line.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a douche.
From the dude who looks like Dagobah Luke.
He does. It does look like Dagobah Luke.
Two. What kind of stuff happened in this episode?
Well, you were about to talk about Carl's haircut.
We did. We did talk about that. We talked about what? Let's see.
Miles is alive.
Miles is alive, and he's just as chatty as if he didn't have a grenade in his mouth this whole time.
Yeah, seriously. I guess it didn't teach him as much of a lesson as you would think.
Yeah, I guess it's like an off-screen removal of the grenade.
Well, I'm hoping. Unless like it's a visible
seems
grenade.
Seems like a crazy, like, really, like, insane moment to add into the show if you're not gonna
follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does seem kind of strange. But they do shit like that all the time. Like, I'm watching some of the older episodes, and it's like, you know, Jack's army or Saeed talking to Charlie about the others. Mm-hmm. Just like, or Sawyer deciding he's the new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
Like, well, it was interesting, but then it just kind of petered away.
Yeah.
What do you think about Saeed's take on taking Michael directly to the captain?
I think Saeed's done with any kind of bullshit ever.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he's been led, like he doesn't have any reason to not trust the captain other than the note that
Michael
that murderous traitor gave him.
Yeah, exactly.
So Saeed's done with it. Saeed thought he was getting rescued. He was totally in the headspace that I'm done with this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm getting off this island. And now there's more obstacles on this freighter. Fuck everybody.
And Michael's trying
fuck
to kill
Michael.
Them all.
Fuck these people are jumping. Fuck it. Yeah. He's in it for himself. He doesn't care.
But also, like, Saeed has no reason to believe that Ben is right. And yeah. I don't think Michael does either. Fucking Tom shows him an invoice. See, look, he bought a 777 or whatever.
I can make an invoice on Photoshop.
Exactly. I can make an invoice on Excel by 3 o'clock with paint. I mean, the fucking things that people accept as proof on this show is just really getting lame to me. And now we've got both sides, Whitmore and Linus, claiming that the other one faked the plane wreck.
Yeah.
And just nothing.
And if you're Saeed, don't believe anybody. Just be awesome and Saeed and give the information you know and see what happens and then see what happens.
Take him right to the captain. And you know what? With the whole, the flash forward, to call it that, Saeed working for Ben Linus. Mm-hmm. And then with the info that he took Michael directly to the captain, like, sold out Linus's one agent on the boat, It could be that, you know, he finds out he was wrong.
And then now feels like he owes a debt to Ben Linus?
Yeah, or just found out that he, like, I think it's going to be more legit when he makes this decision because he's already gone the other way. So it's going to have to be a lot to convince him.
Yeah.
And Desmond just along for the ride.
Yep.
When he starts, like, wailing on Michael, not that he wailed on him, he crashed him into a console. He goes and stands by the corridor. Okay, I guess I'll be the guard. I'm Desmond. Thanks for giving me lines in this episode.
What about those dudes shooting the machine guns at the clay pigeons?
And Michael's like, I thought this was a rescue mission. Oh, thanks, dude. I can't have a fucking hobby. It's a rescue mission, so I better only practice rescuing between now and the time we get there.
Yeah.
Ryan says, why are they
because they're going into a jungle.
It's hostile territory.
And they obviously probably know that it's a Dharma facility and there could be, you know, hostile people who are going to murder them or crazy polar bears that will murder them.
Yeah, but it's not a rescue mission.
Yeah.
That much at least is true. But, you know, everything's so muddied. Like, all the sides, all the motivations. Mm. You know, I think the ultimate mindfuck is if Linus and Whitmore team up. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting twist, I think, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like, so if something from outside either of them is so huge that after all this maneuvering against each other, they have to end up on the same side. Or if the mindfuck is they've been on the same side the whole time and they're doing this maneuvering just to manipulate people for whatever purpose that might be. You know, that might never happen. I just think that would be crazy.
I don't know. I watch it every Thursday, and then I say what the fuck, and then I record a show where I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I know.
It's tough, and it's tough to try to piece it all together. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other stuff that happened that maybe I can't piece together. But it was so Michael-centric that, I mean, there's not much more going on there.
And it was an episode with one long flashback that just progressively went forward, which they did with 3 minutes.
With bookends of on-island stuff. You have at the very beginning, you have the town hall meeting where everybody tells everybody else what they know.
Yeah, about time.
And then...
We didn't get any of Jack and Juliet and all of those people, did we?
No.
So we're all over at Locke's Camp, but that's fine because we haven't been at Locke's Camp for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
They do that from time to time, too.
Yeah.
Like the raft versus everyone back on the mainland or everyone on Island B versus Island A. What?
He said raft
versus host.
Versus host.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a tennis match between Steffi Graf and Happy Day star Donnie Host.
Do you think we should do a Carl Weathers stage fighting workshop podcast in the break?
What would we do it about?
I don't know. We could...
Rest of development. Just bullshit. Pick an episode. Talk about it.
Yeah. We could do a commentary.
A commentary? No, I don't want to do a commentary.
It's just too wordy.
Yeah. We can do... We'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out later. What I want to say about Michael trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
He tries to crash into a car because he's sad that he told Walt about the ladies he shot and Walt doesn't forgive him.
Uh-huh.
Which, good for Walt.
Yeah.
I mean, I know their path together has been tough, and it seemed like at the end of that arc, Walt and Michael were stronger than ever before.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Tom's right. You shouldn't burden a kid with that.
Yeah.
That's too much for Walt to overcome. But anyhow, so he tries to crash a car, can't kill himself. Tom says you can't kill yourself. Tries to shoot himself, can't kill himself. Now he's on the boat with a shitload of explosives, and he presses the button like that's going to work.
But that was his mission.
Yeah, okay,
the island
will allow him to kill himself if he finishes what the island needs him to do.
But not just yet.
Yeah.
Why? There's definitely going to be a moment that is different than
that one.
And I'm wondering if Ben is waiting until Jack and Juliet get on so he can blow them up because he doesn't want them off the island.
Or just
he keeps
Jack.
On making excuses for them not to be taken off the island.
Once again, the theme of lists. He makes Michael make a list of everyone on the boat.
Yeah.
And they decide who's innocent and who's good and who should live and who should die.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't kill innocent people, but he says a lot of things. So, yeah. I mean, there's going to become a time where maybe we'll find out, every time Ben Linus talked, he was right. He was telling the truth. But, you know, right now it's just so topsy-turvy.
And ironic.
Hmm.
All right. Well, that's all I have for Lost. Do you have anything else?
No, let's move on.
All right. You're either going to hear Jimmy now or you're going to hear me. All right. Take it away. So anyway, that's our show, and as we mentioned earlier, because Lost isn't here, doesn't mean that the Darmalars are gone as well. We will be back next week. Let's do a show next week. We'll figure out a day.
We're going to do a show next week as the Lars.
And then it'll be the Lars, if you're not familiar with that. It is kind of like the Darmalars, but without the Lost talk. So it's almost just like the Darmalars, because our Lost talk is kind of brief.
Yeah, but it's at least structured.
Yeah.
The Lars will be more free-forming. Maybe we'll put something in the Q segment.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find a two-minute debate we can do.
No.
You're done with that?
With those.
Maybe we'll find something to fill that void.
Yeah.
Make up a new segment. Ryan's cock will fill that void.
I forgot what our segments were.
Oh, see, that happens every time.
There's the beginning of the show.
Right.
You stick it in your queue.
Right.
The end of the show. The drama
movie
line.
Movie reviews.
Oh, movie reviews.
But what are we going to see between now and next week?
Not going to see Horn Hears a Who.
Actually,
not going to see Meet the Browns. I'm going to see, not going to see Drillbit Taylor, even though I kind of wanted to, but I just don't know.
I kind of wanted to, but I think I'll put it in my queue.
There's something coming out. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we're still available to be contacted on the internet using that email the kids love.
Yeah, darmalars@gmail.com.
And if you have a telephone, the invention of Alexander Graham Bell.
206-338-4261. You can call that phone number anytime you want.
For the Dharma line or the Lars line, and we'll play
it. Standard rates apply.
Standard rates apply. And also, we still have a couple of t-shirts left on the old design. Do you want to talk about that, or you just want to tease it? Okay. We have a couple of t-shirts left on the
ShopSalmon8.com.
And that's a sweet shirt.
And just head over to darmalars.net and you can find all that information, including our MySpace page and
our video blogs.
Our video blogs, Jimmy's Lost Score, and a bunch of other stuff.
Pictures of the Darmal Army.
Yeah. So check it out, darmalars.net. It's on the net.
That's right. All right. So that's it for our last Lost show for a while. So thanks for coming along, everyone. We'll see you soon. Ryan Moore is waving goodbye. And from all of us here at the Darmal Army, Lost a la vista.
And this is Ralph. I think it sounds like caca.
What's that? Is that, is that Finding Nemo? Tom Hanks says that in Jaws.
Hi, Dharma guys. This is Aisha calling from Portland, Oregon. I just listened to your podcast for G1, and I loved it. And I have a theory. Since a friend is looking for Ben, because obviously Ben had something to do with finding the 324 bodies, perhaps the bodies came from the Dharma Purge, because since people don't really seem to age on the island, maybe the corpses don't really age all that much, or particular corpses. Maybe some were saved for experiments, since they do some sort of medical experiments on the island. Maybe the pregnant mother's bodies, you know, are saved. I know that one of the bodies was burned in one of the episodes that we saw, but perhaps those Dharma bodies were preserved in some way because they just don't age when they're alive or dead. So that's a little theory that I have of where someone can find 324 bodies other than the morgue. So I hope to hear your guys' next podcast next week, and have a great weekend. Bye.
All right. I had a thought that everybody should think about. The last episode, Jin's flashbacks were pointless. I don't understand how anybody could think that. Jin's flashbacks were pointless. How can anybody think that that episode was good? It was all pointless. It was all just to mess with us. That was, what, 10, 15 minutes we could have spent on the freighter? Could have spent on the island? Could have spent with Charlotte finding out why she thinks she should hit Kitty in the head? I don't know. I'm not big on disliking Lost episodes, but as far as this Lost episode goes, I find that their humor in messing with us has gone too far. They're making fun of us now. So, like, hey, well, fuck with you. You should be fucked with. And no, we shouldn't be fucked with. We should be giving fucking answers. Where's the poor toad statue? Not that it's my day's job, but, yeah, a lot of people seem interested. I gave up talking about the casket, which people seem to, like, want to be all over the casket. Who's in the casket? Come on, people. Who gives a shit? Fuck the casket. Get past it. Stop naming any person you can fucking think of who's in the casket, because it ain't going to do any good. Probably some dark we never fucking met. Oh, well. All right. Last Darman Lars call. I'm going to, like, take Darman Lars off my speed dial because it's fucking dangerous. Thanks. Put damn Darman Lars on speed dial, he turns to dry. And that's not good. Not that dry's bad. But there can only be one dry. I don't want to be dry. I don't want to take dry's spot. So I'm hanging up because dry has his own spot. Pretty sure. Oh shit. Too many talks. How the hell do you answer all those questions? Is it going to be played? Or will it not be played? Well, I'm typing something as we speak, and I was wanting to accent the typing while I cooked my corned beef for St. Paddy's Day. St. Paddy's Day is a good day. Ouch. geez, once you get on here, there's so much pressure. You have to excel. How can you even come close to Dre? Dre's the man. Dre. You can't even come close. Dre, you're setting the standards too high, brother. Too high, brother. Too high. And action.
Hi, Ben and Ralph. This is Karen from San Francisco. I always hear all these men leaving drunken phone calls, so I thought I should too. It is St. Patrick's Day, and I just had a lot of fun. I just want to say I love you guys. I love Lost, and I love anything connected between you guys and Lost. I saw a commercial for the Baconator, and it really reminded you of guys and Comic-Con. I hope to make it this year, and it sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, you guys are so freaking awesome. I hope you know that. I wish I was real-life friends with you, because that seems like a lot of fun. So I guess I'll just call you guys later. I love you guys. Bye.
What's up, Dharma Lars? Scott from Minnesota. I got a crazy theory I just wanted to put out there for everybody. Claim it is my own. I just watched season 3 finale again, and immediately after the coffin scene where Jack's crying over somebody, they cut to a shot of Danielle Rousseau walking up a hill. I'm going to say that that's foreshadowing, and it's going to be Danielle in the coffin. And the teenage whatever that the newspaper clipping supposedly said survived by, that's Alex, because Danielle took Alex off the island. That's my theory, and it's mine. Take it easy, guys. Later.
Hey, what's up? I'm Ramars. This is Dre, calling from LA. I guess a little late this week. Anyway, the damn thing is, I'm listening to the Yin in episode. And you're right. You know what I'm saying? It was like when Jen was doing the thing, I sat there, I was like, you know, that fucking got to me. It was like, wait a minute, what? I could have swore at some point, like I don't know, maybe, see, the show's fucking with my head. Let me just go off and say it's fucking with my head, because now I'm starting to think that I saw Jen, in season 1 or 2 or some shit, somewhere with a damn panda or making reference to delivery and all this shit, and it's like my fucking imagination is going places here. What the hell is going on? You know? That shit is crazy. I mean, and then you got, you know, Juliet dropped a dime for that battle axe code. I was like, what the hell? Even though, you know, for whatever her damn reasons were, I was like, when she dropped the damn dime, I was like, what is she doing? That actually made me spew out of my freaking pie hole. It made me yell out battle axe at the damn TV. What is a battle axe doing? I don't even know what the hell a battle axe is. All I know is my mom used to call people battle axes, my aunties battle axes when I was younger. I don't know what the hell I came from. Anyway, so, I mean, the show was good or whatever. I'm sorry that Jen, I don't know. I don't think Jen is actually dead. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that they actually, dropped the two-piece on Jen. I don't think so. I think it's more like, they just went around and going around the whole issue there. I don't really think that. I mean, sure enough, there's a grave there, but for Hurley, even though we know Hurley kind of say shit just off the top of his being sometimes, but for him, to just know that she's grieving and she's the death was probably rather recent and whatnot, was fresh and whatnot. It's like, why the hell would he bust out and be like? The way that he said it wasn't insensitive. I know he didn't mean it like that, but it's like, don't you remember? Like the baby do. Like, hey, let me tell you something. The baby don't really, I don't know. I've seen, I have a friend that's, Jesus Christ. I got a friend that, that has a mixed marriage and whatnot. And the damn thing is, I don't know, that baby, I still think that Michael boned her. And I think that's the damn thing. I think he's going to stay his ass on the island because it's going to come out that Michael is the father and like this Maury or some shit. And he's going to fuck around and fucking, we're not going to find that shit out. I don't know. Hey, was it just me? Or was my, maybe I got to fuck with the settings on my TV. I don't know, but that looked just like my friend, the kid or whatnot. So just throwing it out there. I think that's all I got. Hey, Rainbow Six come out this fucking weekend. Actually, it comes out, whatever today is. And I hope to see you guys on here or something. Oh, God! Hopefully I ain't hearing all that crap. But, hopefully you guys get on there and whatnot, 360. I'm not going to get it for the PS3 or whatnot. So there you go. I guess that's all I got. Have a safe trip, Ralph.
Sup, Darmalars. Scott from Minnesota. This is just my luck calling with my bold theory about Danielle being in the coffin and they shoot her in the gut. The hell, man. But anyway, I think there's some more creams added to that theory because she's not necessarily dead yet. So if she's still alive, Alex was touching her belly and Kyle was touching her belly like maybe she's pregnant. That would be motivation for Danielle to leave the island if she has to leave to save Alex. Especially now that Kyle's dead. I guess we don't know if he's dead too, but bullet looked like it hit him in the chest and looked like it hit Danielle in the gut. And since John survived a gut shot, Anyway, I just thought I had to call in and say something about that theory because I know I'm going to get blasted. Everybody have a good one. Keep up the good work, Darmalars. Later.
Hey, Ben and Ralph, how are you? It's not Penny's Bull from Maryland calling again. Listening to the portion of the telethon or marathon podcast, and Ralph, I just had to call, man. You are hilarious. I thought it was just me who didn't like Charlotte because of her faith. When you say you just don't like her because of her faith, I can't stop laughing at that, man. I feel the same way. I thought I was the only one. If she just looks like somebody I wouldn't like for whatever reason. All right, talk to you guys later. Love the show.
Ben and Ralph, this is Jared from Missouri. I never drink, but it seems that I've been drunk way too much lately, so I find myself drunk again calling your phone line. Yes, I'm with that homosexual Mikey. Went out and had some drinks with a really hot chick tonight. And freaking, well, no play, guys, but who knows, man. Who knows? I could be getting some play pretty darn soon there. But that's a whole nother subject. And I'm a prude, so I don't even know why I'm saying this crap. Because, well, Mikey's an idiot. Yay! Screw you, Mikey. Dude, all right. So, Ben and Ralph, Lost is awesome. Lost is off the air right now, so I'm having to fill the void with some Battlestar Galactica Season 3. That's going pretty good. Well, besides that, I'm waiting for baseball season to start up. And Well, that Kevin Johnson, that's Michael Dawson, you understand. But, well, here's Mikey. Mikey wants to say a few words, so here he is. Oh, here he is. Say hi to Ben and Ralph there, Mikey.
Hi.
You son of a gun. Dude, you don't even like Ben and Ralph. You ain't no Darmalars fan. You're like, oh, listen to me. I'm no Darmalars fan, Clay.
I'm a
you suck, dude. It's called the Darmalarmy, you dummy. You don't even know what it is. I'm drunk and I know what it is. You're not a Darmalonian. Ben and Ralph, you guys are so freaking great. You know, you guys are awesome. Put on podcasts, always rocks every week. Even your one pocket. Man, how great would it be if we got to listen to the podcast that was the best podcast of all time? But you guys can't find it. And that's all right. You know, we understand. The other thing is, I called because I tried to call Kim and Amy. Because they said that they'd have a new phone line up, and I checked their MySpace page, and it's definitely just the same old number, and that pisses me off. It doesn't really piss me off, because those two chicks are too cool to get pissed off at. But I was just like, I got to call somebody because I'm drunk, and I don't like to call ex-girlfriends. So I was like, well, if I can't call ex-girlfriends, I can't call Kim and Amy and, you know, talk to them. Well, Ben and Ralph, you guys will do. I'm a Darma. I'm part of the Darma army. You shut up, Mikey. All right, Ben and Ralph. This conversation has gone on way too long. So you guys have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
What's up, Dharma Lars? This is Dre out of L.A.
And this one right here, this one was one of my grandpa favorites. I remember this song every time we used to go to the racetrack. He used to always play this song. He said it gave him the good vibes. So, you know, besides that, and always betting on any horse with the letter B in it. Any horse with a B. And if it was two horses with a B, You had to go with the one that had a name of a B. And Betty was always better than Brandy. That's what he said. Betty was always better than Brandy. So there you go. This is a good song here. It's called One of These Nights. Yes. One of these crazy old nights now, gonna find out pretty mama was hers only alive. The full moon is calling, the fever is high, and the wicked winds whispers and moans. You got your demons, you got your desires, but I got a few of my own. Ooh,
someone to be kind to in between the dark and the light. Ooh, coming right behind you, swear I'm gonna find you. One of these nights,
one of these dreams, one of these lost and lonely dreams. Gonna find one. Ooh, on the real screen. I've been searching for the daughter of the devil himself. I've been searching for an angel and wife. I've been waiting for a woman who's a little of both, and I can feel her, but she's nowhere inside.
Right behind you, swear I'm gonna find you. One of
your baby one of these nights.
Sonny? Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Listen, I hope you know that I was just showing off tonight. I mean, that was stupid and juvenile.
That's all right. I'm used to stupid and juvenile behavior from your son.
Yeah. This is where Kip lives, isn't it? I mean, this is the address he gave me.
Dr. Wilson, you've been through so much already. I don't know how to tell you this, but...
This will be a peach in the family photo album.
The damn liberal arts college.
Dad, why don't you let me explain, see?
My wife is leaving me and my son is in drag. God, what a day.
It's not one thing, it's another.
Dad, all right, it's a hotel for women only, but the rent is cheap. I live near Sunny. Okay, we made one adjustment.
I swear, it wasn't my idea.
We'll discuss it later, all right?
Sure.
Kip, don't you think maybe we ought to do something about your dad, huh?
Oh, yeah. Dad, this isn't going to be easy for you, but, here.
Now these other ladies know us as Buffy and Hildy.
But they also know us as Kip and Henry, Buffy and Hildy's brothers.
See? It's all perfectly normal.
Hello, Dr. Wilson. I really want to commend you on the way you go with the flow. Matter of fact, may I call you Flo?
What is that, Isabel? Some sort of black jive street humor we're not supposed to understand? Can't you see the man's embarrassed?
Please, no need to be embarrassed. Look, I'm used to it. Look, to me, a day without a man in a dress is like a day without sunshine, and it is bright out today. Yeah, the